Great is our God, and he's greatly to be praised, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. What a wonderful and great day this is to be alive, for the Lord has blessed us beyond enumeration, and we ought to be glad about it. It's another day's journey, and I'm thankful to be in the land of the dying, on my way to the land of the living. Amen. Amen. I pray and hope that some time throughout the day you have paused to say to the Lord, thank you for his wonderful blessings bestowed upon you. And certainly we thank God for being a gracious, good God, a merciful God. Amen. And he says that his goodness and his mercy follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. That the blessings of the Lord, the goodness and the mercy of the Lord is chasing us down and taking us over. Amen. Amen. So we thank God for who he is, and we thank him for what he has done. We worship him for who he is. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this moment. We pray and ask you, Lord, to be God in the midst of us. Speak, Lord, we will hear and receive and do. Lord, that we be likened unto wise builders who build our house on the rock. We know in life that the winds will blow and the rains will descend and beat upon us, but we faint and fail not because we are founded on the rock. The rock is Jesus Christ. We have an anchor that holds and grips the solid rock. Thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ. Thank you for this Passion Week, this Love Week. Lord, the week that brought into finality the life of Jesus, Lord, before crucifixion. Thank you, Lord, for his sacrifice on Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for his burial. Thank you, Father, for raising him from the dead. We are not men and women to be most pitied, but, Lord, we have faith and hope. We have expectation that Jesus is ascended to your right hand and he's coming back to receive us. We have a place prepared for us because of the sacrificial work of Christ. Thank you for life. Life that we live abundantly. Life with purpose and life with intentionality. Thank you for eternal life. Lord, be with us now. I decrease, you increase. Less of me, more of you. Have your way in this place, Lord, with our heads and hearts and with our hands. You get the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Psalm 25. Psalm 25. Psalm 25. Psalm 25, first five sentences, or first five verses. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. John chapter 14, John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. John chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. John chapter 16, beginning with verse 13, we'll end with verse 14. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're talking about the operation of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. A few weeks ago, we discovered that he's the Spirit of life. There is no life apart from the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not talking about physical life, because you can have life in your physical body and be spiritually dead. That's what we know from the Word of God, that because you are breathing, that doesn't mean that you have spiritual life. So the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of life. He is the giver of life. That without the Holy Spirit, there is no life with God. There is no life in God, because the Holy Spirit is God, the Holy Spirit. So he's the giver of life. He's the giver of life. But then we discovered from last week that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. That he's not the Spirit of error. He's not the Spirit of error. He's the Spirit of truth. He's not the Spirit of lies. He's the Spirit of truth. He's not the Spirit of manipulation. He's the Spirit of truth. That the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus, who guides us to understand the spiritual truths of God. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot understand. You cannot know the things of God. Amen. The Holy Spirit is the Paraclete. He is the helper. We see him in John's gospel as the Comforter. That means helper. That God has sent the Holy Spirit to indwell you, to assist, to help you understand the spiritual things of God. Amen. With our finite minds, we cannot understand the things of God on our heavenly help. Amen. So he sent the spiritual truths of God. So the Holy Spirit helps us to comprehend the mysteries of God's wisdom and Christian system. Amen. Which are beyond the natural world and human reason. So this is not something that you can just sit and meditate your way through. This is not something that you can figure out on your own. I don't care how many books you read. I don't care how many scholarly authors you read. And I don't care, how much time you invest in reading and study if the Holy Spirit doesn't unlock it, if the Holy Spirit doesn't reveal it, you won't know it. Amen. Now you can think you know it and not know it. You can know where it is in the Bible and not know what it means. Amen. You can know how to locate it, but not know it to apply it. Amen. Amen. So we need the aid of the Holy Spirit. We need the aid of the Holy Spirit. Now let me jump right into the Spirit of Truth matures our capacity to receive divine truth. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Truth, matures our capacity to receive divine truth. You need to be matured. I like this because in Ephesians chapter 4, it deals with the gifts that God gives unto the church in terms of leadership. But it goes on to say, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry. Let me tell you the problem. Let me tell you the problem that plagues the church. You have immature members trying to do mature work. Y'all just miss me. See, you need the capacity to be matured. Paul said it this way. He says, when I was a child, I spake and I act as a child. But when I became an adult, when I matured, I put away childish things. See, if you're not mature, what you'll do is find yourself whining and crying and murmuring and complaining about what you should expect as a mature believer. You should expect opposition. So the Holy Spirit has to mature the capacity of your mind so you can ingest the Word of God, so the application of the Word of God is great in your life, that you are actually led by the Word. You're guided by the Word of God. You don't self-respond. You know, going off and telling people a piece of your mind. You don't do that. What you are led by the Spirit of God. Mature. Maturity. The maturity. You got to mature. Listen. The Spirit of Truth matures our capacity to receive divine truth. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit teaches us how to combat enemies, to combat the enemies of truth. Here are two enemies of truth: doubt. People don't know you are doubting until you tell them you're doubting. When you open your mouth and speak, what's in you, what's in your mind, the wavering, the division, that's what doubt is. Doubt is to be divided in one's mind. You know, it's when you hear people say, I can't see it. You kind of double visioned. They are spiritual schizophrenics because they are divided in the mind. There's no telling who you're dealing with at any given time. That's how divided the mind is. You know, you can service, you all don't pay much attention to it. But I do, you know. One week you can come and church is real high and heated. And you know, it's just like the spirit is and took over. And then the same folks. The next Sunday, you know, I'd be wanting to ask, what's wrong with y'all today? What's going on this week? You have nothing to be happy about? And like a shift has taken place in the mind. You don't think God is good this week? I mean, you just shouted yourself out last week. And this week, you don't have anything to shout. The choir trying to reach in, warm you up, and get you in the service, and you just looking. Got that expression on your face? I just wish they'd just go on, sit down, and let Reverend come on up here and preach, and then I'm going to get on out of here after Reverend preach. It's like a shift. Like something has happened in the mind. Listen, doubt is being divided in one's mind. Look at what James says about doubt. In James chapter 1, verse 6. James says, in verse 6, let me go back to verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. You know, that wave comes in, and then it goes back out. And then another wave is pushed up and is pushed in. And then it's released back out. It's like you're going both ways. There's nothing stable about you because you are a doubter. It's like you are going with the flow of the wind. There's no stability. There's no stance. There's no stay. There's nothing definite. You're like the waves that's driven by the wind. James says that's doubt. But then there's another enemy to the spirit of truth, and that's unbelief. Unbelief. And the Bible likens unbelief to disobedience. Listen to the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Unbelief. That you don't have trust and faith in the Lord. Unbelief. And he says, beware, be careful. Pay attention. Brethren, he's speaking to those of the same household, those within the household of faith. He says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. An evil heart of unbelief. Lord, help us. Enemies of truth. truth right there before you and you not believe it. You remember the Pharisees and the scribes asked Jesus for a sign. Jesus says you've been looking at signs all the time. And you've been missing the message of the sign. You've been missing the meaning of the signs, because signs, miracles, and wonders are signs to point people in Jesus' direction to reveal unto them who he is. He says, you have been seeing all of the signs, the miraculous happenings of the Lord, but yet you are a person of unbelief. He says, that's wicked and evil. That you are convinced by nothing and no one. The spirit in you is trying to convince you, and you grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit because you don't want to believe. You know, some people put self blinders on. They don't want to see good. They don't want to see things of God. And that's dangerous. Because if you're not seeing the goodness of the Lord, you are fainting. You are fainting. You are fading. That's how some people drift out of church. Because they don't want to see good. They don't want to hear good. They drift out. Because they have an evil spirit and an evil heart of unbelief. And so we see enemies of truth, doubt and unbelief. Now, if the Spirit is working with you, there's a process of revelation. A process of revelation. Here's the purpose. The Holy Spirit makes revelation a reality that changes our lives. I want you to marinate. The Holy Spirit makes revelation a reality that changes our lives. Let me help us. The Holy Spirit is not given to us for us to change him. No, he's given to us to change us. We need change. Let me say that again. We need change. There are some aspects about us that's so unlike God. See, y'all gonna make me do it. Yeah, there's some things about us. There's some attitudes about us. There's nothing wrong with God. And I'm talking about some things we know that we have not confronted. We have not confessed. We need changing. So the Holy Spirit makes revelation a reality that changes our lives. Some things you read in the Word of God ought to scare you straight. Do you really believe in hell? No, y'all don't believe in hell. You do know you had a chance of going, don't you? See, y'all ain't thankful for that. Y'all don't believe it. Do you really believe it? Because hell denotes the judgment of God. Do you believe God judges? No, y'all just saying something. No, y'all be there. Scarcely saved. That means you just barely get old. It's like the door was about to close, and you barely got in there. And you know some things that, you know, about you are not like God, and you're not even trying to confront them. And the Holy Spirit makes revelation a reality that changes our lives. Listen, if you don't see the Word of God as real, it's not just a story you're reading. I mean, even in the Old Testament, as you read of the Old Testament saints and all, you see stories. Listen, those are not false and fake stories. That's real. Daniel was put in a lion's den for real. The Hebrew boys were placed in a fiery furnace for real. Elijah was on the mountain with 850 false prophets for real. He went to a widow's house that didn't have but a little meal and a little oil, and she cooked him a cake, and she went back to check the cruse and the barrel, and there was meal in there for real. Jesus came, he was born of a virgin for real. He lived for 33 years. He went to a hill called Golgotha and Calvary, and he died for real. He was raised for real. This is real. But if you don't see it as real, if you don't see it as reality, you'll play with it. You won't properly apply it. You'll be looking for reasons to get out of it. You'll be searching for reasons to not believe it. It's real. And we know it's real because the Holy Spirit makes revelation a reality. Sometimes you can read the word and some just come all over you. Make your hair stand up on your head. Put chills all over your body. It's real. It's real. But then that's the first of the process, that you got to know the purpose. But then notice the process is that the Holy Spirit removes the veil of flesh by the sword of the word, quickening by the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of truth. He removes our inability of seeing. He gives us spiritual sight. Revelation. Reveal. He removes the veil of flesh. See, when you read the Bible, you can't read it in a carnal sense. You know, that has messed us up, because we only want to see it in a carnal way. Something we can receive tangibly, but we don't have any spiritual pursuit. You know, I said to you before, when you read in the Word of God, by stripes you're healed, and you want to apply that to every sick case, But don't you know, if it was talking about the flesh, there would be no saved sick folk? Amen. Y'all quiet. He's talking about your relationship. Being healed in relationship with God. We were sick. Because of Adam. We were sick. And we needed healing. And by stripes, we're healed. I'm healed in my relationship with God. And I'm not saying that God won't heal you. But you got to apply it right. Because it deals with the suffering servant. Jesus Christ as the suffering servant. And he came to suffer. So that he could give us life. Ooh. He cuts away the veil of flesh. He removes it by the sword of the word, quickening by, making alive by the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. You can't live without truth. He quickened. He made us alive. Here's the result. Unveiling of Christ within us. When you think of your inner self, who do you see? Now, this is beyond the mirror now. This is not the part of you that you put on makeup. This is not the part of you that gets the hair done and the hair cut. This is the immaterial part of you. When you think of your inner being, your inner self, who do you see? See, I'm trying to shift us. And I'm trying to give us in-depth understanding of what the Lord is doing through the person of the Holy Spirit. See, you hear young people say, I'm going to do me. And you do you. That's not what Christianity is. Christianity is losing you and doing Christ. Are you becoming more like Christ each and every day within? Are you changing? You know, circumstances are permitted. Situations are permitted to give you some sense of where you are. Are you still going off on people because they didn't put your ketchup in the bag? Y'all laugh at it. But that's a simple test. You told them you wanted ketchup and you told them you wanted no salt on your fries. And that little small insurmountable thing revealed you. Are you still rude to people who call you and have the wrong number? Taking it out on everybody that's calling the same person that has a number that's close to yours? This small test reveals the inner you. Well, y'all quiet. Y'all gonna make me do it. Are you still holding a grudge against that lady that said to you, you have a nice looking husband? Or that man that said to you, you have a nice looking wife. And you upset because now you know someone else know that you got a nice spouse. And you haven't, you know, said a word to that person. You haven't spoke to that person. And God knows how long, because they said that to you. A little small test reveals whether there's a Christ likeness in you. You go to the bank and they give you new $100 bills, and they have a knack of sticking together, and they give you one too many. With your holy self, you say that's a blessing. Do you turn around and keep that teller from losing her job or his job, or having that amount of money deducted out of their check because they miscounted? See, there's an unveiling of Christ in us. See, this unveiling of Christ in us causes us to do right even when people are not watching us. It starts to govern our behavior. It starts to govern the way we think. You know, that God can bring you on the conviction. While you're alone, nobody around you. Some things you have done, some things you have said. See that Christ's likeness that's unveiled will work with you instead of you trying to work on the other people. It'll work on you and make sure that you have your end of it right. He's working in us when he's unveiled, when you can sense Christ in you. You know, the unveiling of Christ within us makes us love our enemies. Now, y'all saying amen, that's not easy. That's not easy, because love is what love does. Are y'all with me? So look, this unveiling of Christ makes us love our enemies. That's why the Lord said, love your enemy. Do good to them that despitefully use you and speak all manner against you falsely for my name's sake. And see, the more you practice, the better you become. The more you practice at being like Christ, you become like a Timex. You can take a lick and keep on taking. You know, some things are not even worth you going there. Some situations, you know, they're not even worth you lowering yourself. But you practice this Christ-likeness. You do as Christ did with the religious leaders. You know, at times he didn't even answer them. So the unveiling of Christ, when the Holy Spirit begins to take the cover off, because, you know, the younger we are and the immature we are in the way of Christ, the more he's covered. But as we go along through life, the Holy Spirit starts to uncover, unveil. And my God, when you can see Christ in yourself, I'm not just talking about other folks, but I'm talking about when you can see him in your own life. My God. You talking about a change in the village. I can look at my life and see, you know, from whence I have come. How far he's brought me. I can take some stuff now that I couldn't take some years ago. Because of the unveiling. The unveiling. Let me deal with the steps. To the process of revelation. Here's the first thing. You need information. You need information. That there's a receiving a truth into the mind and heart. You need information. Spirituality is not ignorance. Spirituality is not ignorance. You need information. You need the word of God applied to your mind and heart. That's why the Lord gives us preaching every week and teaching every week, several times a week, because you need the word of God. You need truth applied to your mind and heart. So you need information. You need illumination. You need understanding truth. Oh my. You need spiritual enlightenment. You need the light turned on. You need a wow. That's what that means. You need illumination. You need information. But you need inspiration. There needs to be a desire within you to obey the truth. Did y'all hear me? There needs to be a desire within. Now, let me say this. You should need a law. Somebody coming up with a rule to handle you. The word of God should be inner regulation. You study in the word of God and you apply in the word of God. The word is in your mind and in your heart. It should regulate you. Now, laws are for lawless people. Y'all, oh my God. There ought to be a desire in you to obey the truth. Stop arguing with the word. Stop wrestling with the word of God. And let there be a desire in you to apply truth to your life. To obey truth. When I was younger, I used to hate to hear, you know, pastors talk about giving. You know, I was swayed like a lot of folk, you know, oh, they just want my money. And I didn't even have any money. That was the sad thing. I didn't have money to even be talking about. I said, Lord, have mercy. And you know, I started reading the Word of God, and then I ran into Malachi 3, and it says, bring all the tithes and offerings into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Herewith said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the window of heaven and pour you out. And this would mess me up. He puts it in the singular. He said, a blessing. That you won't have room enough to receive. Then he goes on to say, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. I said, Lord, everything that comes up against to take from me and to make of no good for me, you going to rebuke? You going to stand against it? And I was about 17, 18 years old. I started tithing. And I haven't gone hungry. Oh my God, y'all gonna make me. See, there ought to be a desire within you to obey. And then this is the one time he says, prove me. I said, try you. And let me tell you what happened. Through the years, God supernaturally blessed us. We may have paid $10,000 for our three children's college. And all three have degrees. I had a student loan coming out of college. And when Katrina came through, the government said I couldn't afford to pay the bill because I was in a disastrous area. I'm sending the money in and they sending it back. And so, you know, I got on the phone and I was going to tell them a piece of my mind. I said, now y'all going to mess my credit up. I'm doing the best I can. I'm a little poor man and I'm trying to establish myself, and I want to make sure that y'all don't mess my credit up talking about these student loans. They said, well, Mr. Rogers, the reason we're sending your money back is because your accounts have been paid in full. $26,000 wiped out. I said, God, you said you'll rebuke the devourer for my sake. See, there ought to be a desire. A desire. You know, as pastor, I've always been kind of high octane. You know, y'all don't call and say, well, Reverend, are we going to have three services Sunday? Y'all say that, man, you know, no sense in even calling him, talking about counseling no service. And y'all trying to figure out, I don't even know how he got the time to do all of this in. But there ought to be a desire. And I know this, when there's a desire to do, God will always make it possible for you to do it. He'll give you everything you need to obey him. Oh my. See, there's an inner desire. To obey truth. So, the Holy Spirit, listen, I'll get into next week. I wanted to get into defining the process of revelation, like revelation, realization, transformation, manifestation. And then the Spirit of truth inspires us to be truthful. That's a living the truth and speaking the truth. But I'll get into that next week. I just run out of time. I run out of time. But listen, within, have a desire to obey him. You know, sometimes my mom calls and she says, son, are you getting rest? Yes, ma'am. My wife says to me, she says, are we going on vacation this year? I say, yes, ma'am. And she says, what month do you have free? I said, I don't have any month free. But we're going. I have a desire within that I just want to obey truth. Obey truth. And listen, pray to God that you have that same desire. Listen, when you have that desire, you're going to find out if you don't know when the church in session is. See, some of us want to use ignorance as an excuse to not be here. Well, I didn't know. Sitting in church, you watching them announcements on the screen and hearing it. And you just sat in that seat and said, well, I ain't coming back this evening. And then when church out, they catch you out there and you say, I didn't know nothing about no announcement. You don't have that desire. So you have to have a desire to love people. If not, it's going to show. You have to have a desire for the things of God. You're going to reflect God everywhere you go. I'm done. Let us stand for our prayer. All hearts and minds clear. Any questions? All right. 6 o'clock in the morning. We have just a few days remaining. We're on our way to Calvary in our Lenten study. So you want to make sure you finish strong with us. Listen, I commend you. We've had 100+ every day, close to 150, 160 people every morning at 6 o'clock. So get on. If you don't have the credentials, call Sister Pinky. She will get those credentials to you. Or see Sister Ross or see one of the other tech savvy folks. You know, yeah, I can't help you. I'm bad on there to teach, so I can't help you. So make sure you see someone and get the credentials. All right, let us make our circle and we'll get out of here. Are there any prayer requests? All right, Brother Gary. Okay, Mr. Chisholm. All right. Anyone else? All right. Deacon Will.
Deacon McClain, he just had to leave. Go check on his wife. He's going to call us.
Okay, all right, Deacon McClain, checking on his wife. Okay. All right, grandchildren. Who is that? Olivia Russell. All right. Your grandchildren. All right.
Michael Spencer.
Michael Spencer?
Yes.
All right.
Like prayer for AJ Dobine. He is a young father and a young husband. Unfortunately, the doctors want to place him on hospice.
All right. All right. Anyone else? All right. Sister Katrina. Tanya? All right. Rascal? All right. I'm closer. All right. Sister Sandra. Sister Sandra Ashford. All right, thank you. Come on, Deacon.
Tyrone, January, and Tanya LaShore.
All right. All right. Okay. Sister Frazier. Okay. All right. All right.
sister. Lord have mercy. All right. All right. Families out of Maryland.
Thank you. Heavenly Father, we forgive us of our sins, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your death, burial, and your resurrection, Lord Jesus. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy, Lord Jesus. And let us continue to seek your faith, Lord Jesus, every day of our life, Lord Jesus. I ask you to watch over the body of Christ as one, and I thank you for allowing us to come at one accord, Lord Jesus. And we lifting up every prayer in your name, Lord Jesus. Just say thank you for answering our prayer, Lord Jesus. I thank you for keeping us from all hurt, harm, and danger, Lord Jesus. I just thank you for keeping our family, Lord Jesus. I just thank you for keeping all our children, Lord Jesus. Continue to watch over them and be with them, Lord Jesus. I ask you, Lord Jesus, continue to let us be in coming to you in spirit and truth, Lord Jesus. Continue to give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding of your word, Lord Jesus. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be accepted in thy sight. You is my Lord and my Redeemer. And I just thank you for redeeming us from the hands of the enemy, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for all things, Lord Jesus. I just thank you for taking the cover off our eyes, Lord Jesus. Let us always be pure-hearted, Lord Jesus. And continue to let us be the people that you want us to be, Lord Jesus. I just thank you for the Spirit of God that you allow us to live in us, Lord Jesus. Let us live upright people, Lord Jesus. Let us have a straight look, Lord Jesus. Let us be your people, Lord Jesus. I just thank you for everything, Lord. I just thank you for our pastor, Lord Jesus. We lift him up in your name, Lord Jesus. I thank you for allowing him to preach your word, Lord Jesus. Continue to let your anointing be in this place, Lord Jesus. Let your anointing work on him, Lord Jesus. Let your word continue to cleanse him from inside out, Lord Jesus. And continue to cleanse each and every one of the body of Christ, Lord Jesus. And you say if you be lifted up, you will draw all men to you. And we just thank you that we lift the Lord Jesus up in our life, Lord Jesus. I just thank you for being our stronghold. I thank you for keeping us by your mighty right hand, Lord Jesus. I just love you, Lord Jesus, with all my heart, Lord Jesus. And I come sincere out of my heart, Lord Jesus, just to pray to you, Lord Jesus, just to say thank you. I ask you to watch on Mr. McClain's wife, Lord Jesus. We lifting her on one accord, Lord Jesus. Continue to strengthen her and be with him, Lord Jesus. Build him up where he's broken, Lord Jesus. I ask you, Lord Jesus, heal his wife, Lord Jesus. And we know if you don't heal her, Lord Jesus, we know that you is in command, Lord Jesus. I just thank you for being the anchor of our life, Lord Jesus. Because you the only one can uphold us to be the people that you want us to be. I ask you to watch over Pastor Walker and his family, Lord Jesus. Be with him. Add life to his life, Lord Jesus. Because he is kind of old, Lord Jesus. And we just thank you for him, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. Just sending a godly person like that to save so many souls that you speak the truth over us, Lord Jesus. That you allow the Spirit of the Holy Ghost and be led by the Spirit to follow up upon us, Lord Jesus. And we just thank you for your anointing. We just thank you for all the people of God that continue to live in you, Lord Jesus. And you live in us, Lord Jesus. We lift you up, Lord Jesus, every day of our life, Lord. Continue to let us get back safer to our destination, Lord Jesus. We just thank you for this daily bread, Lord. Continue to watch over our family, Lord Jesus. We continue to watch over our husbands and wives, children, grandfathers, grandmoms, uncles, aunties, Lord Jesus. We lift all them, Lord Jesus. I ask you, Lord Jesus, continue to make the crooked places straight, Lord Jesus. Continue to save the lost, Lord Jesus. Because we was all lost, Lord. And I just thank you for saving our soul, Lord Jesus. I just thank you for saving me, Lord Jesus. Thank you for opening my eyes, Lord Jesus. I know I made many mistakes, Lord Jesus. And I just thank you for saving my soul, Lord Jesus. Because when I ain't have nothing, Lord Jesus, you brought me up, Lord. I ain't see my way, Lord. You strengthened me, Lord. I just thank you for being on your side, Lord. I thank you for being a person in your sheepfold, Lord. Because I used to work for the devil. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you allow me to be a light of your candlelight, Lord. Continue to lift me up, Lord, in prayer. Continue to pray on me, Lord, and keep me, Lord Jesus. You say the race ain't given to the swift or the strong, Lord. It's given to the one who endured to the end, Lord. And I ask you, let all us endure to the end. And let us stand on your word, Lord Jesus, in these dangerous times, in the last days of our life, Lord. We ask you, continue to let us be rooted and grounded and settled on your word, Lord. I just thank you for this body of Christ, Lord. I just thank you for this church, Lord. Continue to charge your angels to protect us from every hurt, harm, and danger, Lord. Be with us, Lord, and lead us, Lord. He said, let us always love you with all our heart. Lean not to our own understanding, Lord. In all thy ways acknowledge you, and you shall direct our path, Lord. And let us never do that without commending to you, Lord, and coming to your throne of grace, Lord. I just thank you for allowing these words just to come out my mouth, Lord. I just thank you for your people, your godly people, Lord, that they can help me in some kind of way that I can live upright in life, Lord, that I could be a better man, Lord. And I just thank you for allowing me to be a better man this day, Lord. I don't know what's going to happen, Lord, will tomorrow, but I know your will be done in our life. It shall happen. And I ask you, let us keep on climbing the level, Lord Jesus. And we always look to the hill will come our help. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. And we give you all the praise, Lord Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And all the saints of God say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
Love you,
sir.
You too.
Yes, sir.
Love you. Love you.
Love you.